Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Screen Geeks Radio, episode 73. This is Dave.
This is Barry.
This is Ethan.
Yay! Ethan, did you get your montage done?
Oh, yeah. Trust me. It'll end in an awkward beach hug for sure.
All right, then. There you go. I'm just kind of scared by that. All right. Josh couldn't make it this week. He went and saw Fast and Furious and tried drag racing out in the theater parking lot and is in jail right now, so...
We need bail money, so please send anything you can to screengeeks.com.
Yeah, there we go. All right, let's talk about what we watched this week. I didn't watch a whole heck of a lot. Did you?
I saw some stuff, yeah. I finally saw Spaceballs, the animated series. Have you seen that?
No.
It's on Hulu. Mel Brooks says the voice of President Scroob and Yogurt, and Daphne Zuniga is back as Princess Vespa. But otherwise, it's all new cast. Obviously, you can't have John Candy.
Yeah.
The animation is not the problem, because it's kind of jerky animation, like
Clerks
adult.
Or...
Yeah, not even that good. It's more like Adult Swim. It looks like it was done by computer, not by hand.
Okay.
The problem is, it's just not that funny. It's Mel Brooks didn't write it.
Oh.
He's not the writer. He's involved. He's executive producer and he does the voice work. But no, it was written by somebody else. I saw an episode called Druidian Idol, a parody of American Idol.
Really?
And it was just really not funny. Even the opening song written by Mel Brooks, new Spaceballs theme song that he composed just for the show, it's just not that funny. It's a pleasure to watch. The animation's fun, and it's fun to see, Dark Helmet and everybody walking around and all the characters from the movie making appearances, even Pizza the Hut. But, yeah, I was expecting a little more.
Fair enough.
A little disappointing.
Dang. So was there anything good that you watched?
Yes. What did I say that was good? I looked at Fight Club for the first time in a long time. I'm very impressed by that movie.
Such a good movie.
It really is. Yeah, it's funny. It really is more of a comedy than anything else, but it's so dark and violent. It's easy to overlook the humor, which I think was what a lot of critics did when it first came out.
Yeah.
But yeah, terrific movie. I saw Alex Proyas' Knowing, which I was very, very impressed by. I was honestly just very stunned by it. I'm not going to say anything about it because I don't want to give anything away, but it really does go places movies never go. I mean, it basically throws out all the rules of script writing in the last hour and does things that I've never seen a movie do, and it's pretty nuts, and which is one reason I can see why people hate it, but I really admired it. It has bigger balls than Watchmen, that's for sure.
Wow.
It's got huge, huge cojones on that movie.
All right. So are you in Ebert's camp on that then? Or
I can understand why he would say that, because it is so incredibly daring and gutsy. I mean, it does deserve comparison to the great sci-fi movies, because it's just like the screenwriter was like, what the heck? I'm going to do whatever the heck I want there. It's kind of like the movie you and I would have written when we were 13, thinking that we had all the budget in the world and didn't care about continuity and stuff like that. Just say, we're going to do whatever the heck we want. No, it's not quite as good as he says, but I understand why he'd say that, because there's nothing else out there like it.
Is it up there with Dark City still? Or?
I would say it's as gutsy as Dark City. I liked it as much as Dark City, definitely.
Okay.
And I didn't think Nicolas Cage's performance was the problem. Everybody's been picking on him. I think it's actually one of his most understated performances in a while. He shouts a few times, but it's the end of the world. It's not like Ghost Rider or Bangkok Dangerous. I thought he was fine in the movie.
All right, cool. Is that it for you?
Fast and the Furious,
which we'll get to.
We'll talk about that.
Wait, did you pay for Fast and Furious? I did on opening week.
I did. Yes, I did. I'm one of the reasons it made $72.5 million.
Sorry, Barry. Firing squad.
Ethan, what did you watch this week?
Okay, I watched Star Trek III: The Search for Spock.
Ah,
so you're on a Star Trek kick right now?
Yeah, and I thought I was kind of disappointed with it, because I thought it felt very disjointed.
Yeah,
I think it attempts at something very intelligent, but then it kind of just resorts to at the end Christopher Lloyd, yelling, "I want the Genesis," and and the whole Spock thing at the end it's cool, it's pretty well done, but it feels so separate from the movie itself.
Yeah.
And there's a death scene of a character I won't reveal, but I really felt that Captain Kirk should have been more upset about it. I'll just say that.
I agree with you, Ethan. It's probably one of my least favorite of the Trek movies.
It's a step back from two, that's for sure.
It really is. And the whole business with Chekhov, there's that long sequence where Chekhov, if I remember correctly, doesn't he get like in a drinking match with some guy? It's like this really long, silly sequence with Chekhov.
Wessel.
Enough said.
Okay, and I now, because you did that, do I still have it? Yes, I do. I have to play this now.
Oh.
When we woke up, we had these bodies.
Say it in Russian.
Then we woke up, we had these bodies.
Now say nuclear vessels.
No.
I heart Futurama. Okay. What else did you watch, sir? Sorry.
I rewatched Synecdoche, New York.
Cool.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if I'd say I understood it more this time, but I'd say it didn't feel as long this time, to be honest.
Interesting.
Like the first time I saw it, like it, I loved it, but it felt like so long.
It felt like you were literally living the guy's life with him.
Yeah, and it felt like there were about five different points where it was going to end. You know what
totally.
I mean? Like there's separate points. I think, you know, this kind of sums up the movie. You know, it can end here, then it keep going on and on with more craziness. So it's kind of like getting a little restless. But this time, it didn't feel long at all, and I got a few things, like some of the symbolism a bit more, but still, I think it's like any kind of David Lynch film where basically you have no chance of ever completely understanding everything in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are the DVD extras pretty good?
I didn't watch any of them, but they look interesting. I really want to know, like I want to see some technical stuff, like how they built that set.
That set was crazy.
Yeah.
I also watched Beetlejuice.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
For the first time ever, actually. I have to admit, I'd never seen it before.
What'd you think?
Yeah, it was awesome. But the one thing I thought is, how the hell did this movie get a PG rating?
No joke.
Did it get a PG? Because he drops the F-bomb.
He does. And, you know, another movie that came out that year that's PG, Big, also has the F-word in it. Yeah. I don't know what, 88. I don't know what was going on with the MPAA. They were slacking that year.
They were on crack.
Well, I thought the cocaine peak was 1984, right?
That's right. That could have had something to do with it. Yeah, there's a lot of 80s movies like Terms of Endearment. There's Spaceballs that are PG that have the F word in it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, then.
And that's The More You Know.
What else did you watch, sir?
Last thing I watched was Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home.
Mm, I love that movie. It's such a shift in pace.
It was so funny.
Yeah.
It is by far the funniest of all the movies.
Yeah,
in a good way.
Well, double dumbass on you and stuff like that.
I love it when he did the Vulcan, the neck pinch to the punker.
Oh, on the bus. That was great, yeah.
Yeah, that was...
And I just had this image of my head of them doing a test screening of it and them like having a focus group together and having some guy write, have Chekhov say Wessel in every scene or something on it.
Okay, you said it again.
Now say nuclear Wessels.
No.
Sorry. Okay, it was there.
That's good stuff. I liked 4 a lot. I like Catherine Hicks too. I was hoping she would be a regular. I was hoping she and Kirk would hook up actually.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a good movie. Like Spock's straight man. Is one of the great straight men in cinema, I think.
Yeah, it's pretty solid. I love that moment where it's not even spoken. I mean, he just rips off a piece of his sleeve and covers up his pointy ears before they go into it. It's like he's the weird one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is also fair to say, you know, I saw this in L.A. when it was out. So when I was talking about the pollution in it being the 80s,
yeah,
got the biggest laugh of anything in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, cool. Was that it for you, Ethan?
Yeah.
All right, I don't have a whole lot. We've been catching up on a lot of BSG. We're almost halfway through the fourth season, so we're getting close to the end of the series. Really good stuff. It's, again, if you haven't seen it, Netflix it. Just work your way through it. It's amazing. You know, like, was it like last week I was saying that I was only on disc 2 of season 2 of The Office? Yeah, I'm done with season 2, and I'm 10 episodes into season 3 now. So it's grabbed me. I like it a lot.
Great, great.
Yeah, I loved it when... Jim tried to get Andy to hit on Pam. That just the pig Latin and
yeah.
Wait, have you gotten to the Prison Mike episode either?
Yes, the Scared Straight. Oh my gosh,
that's so painful. Good. Oh my goodness,
I was just sitting there like, he is not doing this, really. Or when they're talking about when Michael's old boss died, Yeah. And they start doing the thing about famous movie lines, you know, the characters who had parents die. And so good. Jim sending faxes to Dwight from Future Dwight.
That's a great one.
Yeah. It is a good, good show. And I like the fact that they brought Karen into things. Like, that's just starting up now for me, but...
Nice.
Like, and another thing, when Kelly and Ryan thought they were going to break up, and he's, like, so happy because the office was going to close, the look on his face after it wasn't going to close, and she's like, we get to be together forever! Is that look of, please, just kill me now. Beautiful stuff. And finally, I watched Bolt. Really good.
Good. Glad you liked it.
We loved that movie. Yeah. Bought the two discs pretty much sight unseen. So
great.
Yeah. It's really good. Well worth checking out.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I guess that's about it. All right. Shall we talk about what hit theaters this week?
All right. In addition to Fast and Furious, no thes, just Fast and Furious. I guess they're like, no, we're the fourth movie and we got to get rid of the thes. But it's... They should at least call it Fast and Furious 4. At least people know what they're talking about.
Well, I don't think there's any other series that wants to call itself that.
I guess. Oh, well. So Fast and Furious, $72.5 million over the weekend. And so guaranteeing we're going to have a Fast and Furious 5, Too Fast, Too 5. I don't know. They've got a few years to figure out a title.
Adventureland. Or 6 months, depending on how you want to talk
about it. Yeah, exactly. Sorry. Depends on how fast they fast-track that. Adventureland with Jesse Eisenberg and Kristen Stewart, which you saw.
Yes.
And we'll talk about that. Alien Trespass, limited release on 40 screens. We got it here in Denver. I've heard it's good. Want to see that.
And it's going to be showing it at Starfest.
They're actually showing it at Starfest.
No, are they going to?
Are they doing a panel?
They're just doing a panel. That's awesome. We'll talk about that shortly in the news, too.
Right, because
there's all kind of stuff coming up there too, and tell us about Fast and the Furious. Fast and Furious.
Fast
sorry.
And Furious. Let's make sure we get that title right.
I don't want there to be any confusion.
No misunderstanding. No, this is the fourth film. I think it's the best one in the series. I really do. The first one I thought was fun and exciting at times, but it was such a total ripoff of Point Break, plot point by plot point. The second one I thought was so-so at best. Great stunts, stupid movie, bad acting, and Tokyo Drift was terrible, terrible, terrible. So I was not looking forward to this one because it's from the director of Tokyo Drift. I thought it all worked. I thought all the action sequences were spectacular. The story, and yes, there actually is a story. I thought it was really engaging and interesting.
You know, is Vin Diesel back?
Vin Diesel and Paul Walker are such limited actors, but they work in this movie. They really do. And, like, you know, they're really not great actors, but you put them together as a team, they almost, like, make one good actor. So putting them together, like, really works because they're, like, they kind of pick up the acting slack together as one. It helps that there's a really good bad guy in this movie. That helps. All of the action sequences are just really hair-raising and real knuckle-grabbing. I thought this is easily the best in the series. It's just a solid action movie. It's exciting. It's everything I wanted from these movies. And honestly, it's such a nice surprise and such a solid, solid, fun movie. I can see why it opened so big. It's word of mouth. I mean, I'll be one among the people saying, like, hey, seriously, forget what the critics said. I mean, yeah, the dialogue is stupid. The plot is completely implausible. And yes, all the women in this movie are like extras out of a Lady Gaga video. They're like walking around making out with each other. I mean, completely stupid misogyny galore. But it works. The movie works. So I liked it. I really did.
Wait, it made $72 million this weekend, right?
Yes.
Like you said?
Yep.
So, and they're saying they can't release I Love You, Philip Morris, but this proves there is an audience for homoeroticism.
Different kind.
Apparently, you know, it's a typical male chauvinism. We have no problem with watching ladies make out, but if it's Ewan McGregor and Jim Carrey, then oh, forget it. So, did you guys see the trailer to Philip Morris? It's online.
No.
Yeah, it's on YouTube, and I gotta say, I think it looks really good.
Huh.
Yeah, and the trailer does not hide I think they're going to eventually re-release it. It's a 3-minute trailer, and it kind of encapsulates the whole movie, and they show quite a bit. I'm sure they would never show normally in a trailer, but
so is the Walmart version just going to be called I Love You or Philip Morris?
Right, just Philip Morris. But no, I think it looks like a good movie. I really do.
Right on.
Well, I mean, in Five Fast, Five Furious, are Vin Diesel and Paul Walker finally going to hook up or what? Like, is that sexual tension going to be resolved? Sorry.
You know, that really would be the only way for this series to go at this point.
All right, then.
Yeah.
Let's just leave that alone right there. Let's not do that. Adventureland. Yeah.
Adventureland.
So I'm going to go out and just say the most inflammatory thing I'm going to have to say and just get it over with. I liked this better than Superbad. Mottola's first film. So, look, it's no secret. I'm kind of burnt out on the Apatow style of humor. And this movie moved on from it in many ways. There is not a gross-out joke in this movie. Hmm. Yes, there are kids throwing up at different points in the movie, but that's just more of a riff on...
Oh, that's just projectile vomiting, so...
Well, it's how it was at a crappy amusement park in the 80s, you know, so...
And now, too.
Well, yeah, that's true. Depends on where you're going. I actually ran into a friend from work at the screening. I talked to her afterwards, and she said she didn't like it because this is supposed to be about kids in college or finished with college, and it still came off very much as a high school movie. Hmm. So I can see that, but I really dug this. This movie has more heart than Superbad. I think it was just as funny in many ways. It's a lot more poignant, I think. I'm going to quote Massa Worm's article review over at Ain't It Cool. I think it got reproduced over at Miramax. They put it up too. But he said that I want to make sure I get this right. If Superbad was Mottola's 16 candles, this is his Pretty in Pink.
That's pretty cool.
I want to make sure that I got that right, though. Yeah, that's it. And, you know, I was looking at going to see this between this and Sunshine Cleaning, and he actually said, hey, go see this. You will not be disappointed. And he was right. This has just got so good. Ryan Reynolds is great in it, but it's a bit more of a serious role than he usually does. This cool. isn't Ryan Reynolds from Waiting or anything like that. So it's very... It's not a happy movie overall. I mean, it's got a lot of fun in it, and, you know, coming of age, blah, blah, blah. But there's a lot of really messed up stuff in it, too.
You told me you were very impressed with Kristen Stewart in this film.
I was. She made me forget about Twilight.
That's really saying something.
That is totally saying something.
Yeah, that's great.
Like, this is the kind of movie okay.
Sorry, I interrupted you. I feel like a jerk. But you haven't seen Into the Wild yet, right?
No, I have it downstairs, though.
Well, she's in it, and I'll just say that'll kind of redefine the way you look at her.
Okay.
Cool. Well,
in a good way, or
if it's redefined from Twilight,
that's true. Yeah. Are you talking about redefining from Twilight, or?
Yeah.
Okay. This is very much along the same lines. She actually has a personality. She actually has, you know, if she'd brought this kind of feeling to Twilight, Twilight probably wouldn't have sucked as much. But that wasn't her fault, I don't think. That's what this is showing.
Yeah, because she's been good in everything else. I mean, first thing I saw her in was Panic Room, and I was blown away by her performance in that. I mean, she's really good. It's I don't know what happened in that vampire movie.
Well, it's because it's Twilight. It's kind of like, you know, it's kind of like the prequel movies in Star Wars. The people who had careers before have gone on to have careers since. People who haven't become Hayden Christensen.
Well, Jimmy Smits is a fine actor. You would never guess that from Attack of the Clones.
This is true. So this really gave me a lot more respect for Stewart as an actress, because this was the second movie I've seen her in that I think. So it really, she is quite the tortured soul of the film and really pulls it off well. It's just a very sweet movie. I can't think of anyone I wouldn't say not to see it.
Great.
It's rated R mostly for because there's copious amounts of pot being smoked. I mean, tons. I mean, before his buddy, who's going to become his roommate at grad school, leaves, he gives him like a giant bag full of joints. So he's passing him out for like the whole movie. But yeah, well worth checking out.
Sounds good.
Highly recommend it.
Vomiting and pot jokes. Sounds good.
Oh, yeah. Does it get any better? Let's talk some DVDs for the week.
Let's see. This weekend DVD release, the infamous Slumdog Millionaire release. We'll get to that in a second.
In our news.
Will Smith's 7 Pounds, which made about 7 pounds at the box office. Marley and Me. Ugh.
The feel-good movie of the year.
If you're a cat person. No Country for Old Men, the 3-disc special edition.
Complete with third disc coaster.
That's right, Christmas tree ornament.
And no commentary.
No commentary.
They've only done one. And that's for a man who wasn't there.
Really?
Yeah.
Out of all the movies, that's the one they wanted to explain? Come on.
Yeah.
Jim Carrey and Zooey Deschanel in Yes Man.
Because.
Why, man? Cleopatra, one of the most infamous flops of all time. Elizabeth Taylor, Richard Burton. Cleopatra. Donkey Punch, one of the worst movies ever made. Don't waste your time and money on Donkey Punch. And finally, Neil Marshall's Dog Soldiers, Werewolves. See it. It's great.
And Donkey Punch is my official FU pick of the week. I will never watch this movie.
Because?
We'll get to that in the news as well. This is going to be quite an angry episode, I think. Okay, so yeah. Failure said stupid. Okay. Does anyone want to say anything about any of these movies, really, or...
These DVD movies?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I mean, Donkey Punch is such a waste of time.
I have a comment to make.
Okay.
Okay. I bought the No Country for Old Men DVD last year under the impression that the Coens don't usually do a lot of special features.
Except for Brother Robert, though.
Yeah, so I thought, okay, there won't be a pimped out edition of this coming out. So I bought it, and of course they announced this, and I'm feeling a little angry, to say the least.
Mm. So are you going to buy this version?
No, but it's just a little irritating, that's all. Wait, is it on Blu-ray?
Yes.
Maybe then.
Fair enough. The extras, there's a lot of, like, while there isn't a commentary, there's a lot of behind-the-scenes interviews. Like, it has the Charlie Rose interview with them, which he tends to do really good interviews with
filmmakers. Yeah, he does.
So, some people are happy, some people are like, yeah, I'm happy with the last one, I'm good.
This double-dipping crap is annoying. I mean, I would be willing to wait 8 to 10 months for the movie to come out proper. You know, I don't need it to come out like right away. I would wait for like the super duper deluxe edition that nobody had time to make, you know, when the film was just coming out originally.
Totally.
I remember when they did it with Crash, because I love Crash. I bought it on DVD, you know, in a pretty so-so okay special edition, quote unquote. Yeah. And then it won Best Picture, and now there's like an ultra edition that's got deleted scenes and
all
this
stuff.
So
we're not talking about the Cronenberg Crash.
No, no. No, once was enough for me with that one.
Fair enough. All right. Well, shall we move into some news then?
Yes.
All right. We'll cruise through the little bit of news, and we're actually going to bring in a guest for the rest of it, I think. we'll call that the Fox Spectacular and go from there.
Fox Spectacular.
Ethan, do you want to get to the rest of your news first?
Yeah, why not? Two news items relating to the film Bruno. First, the movie has been rated NC-17.
Did you see the trailer?
And next, yeah, I was going to bring up, did you guys see the trailer?
Yeah.
Yeah?
It looks so good.
I think I saw enough from the trailer.
Yeah, that, no.
It would be funny to see him hitting on Ron Paul and all, but...
Yeah, and harassing Arnold Schwarzenegger, but no, I'm just not excited about this movie. I don't know why.
Fair enough.
Really? This is like my most anticipated movie of the summer after this trailer.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. All right, then. I've still got to give that to Inglourious Basterds, so. Hmm. Yeah. All right. What have I got? Oh, this is Barry's happy news. Night of the Creeps is coming to DVD and Blu-ray.
Yay, finally. Thank you. Yeah, in October, right?
Yes, I believe so, yes.
Perfect, perfect.
Yes. And they're doing the alternate ending with the zombie dog.
Oh, fantastic. But are they going to have the original ending too? Or
yeah,
just,
yeah, okay, yeah, this is going to be an extra. Actually, that's from Fred Decker himself saying that they're putting that in.
Great. Terrific.
So I figured that would make you a happy camper.
I'm very happy, yeah. So there's a lot of extras and crap on it?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be like the two-disc Monster House type thing.
Oh, yes.
I mean Monster Squad.
Monster Squad. Yes. Sweet.
Oh, yes. I will have to purchase that as well. Yes. Have you got anything at all this week, Gary?
I do. The Informers, the new Bret Easton Ellis film, stars Billy Bob Thornton, Kim Basinger, Winona Ryder, Mickey Rourke, but not Brandon Routh. It was reported in Entertainment Weekly that Brandon Routh was originally cast as Jamie the Vampire. In the book by Bret Easton Ellis, he is a guy who goes to clubs, seduces young men and women, and basically tears them to shreds in really violent, nasty ways, because it's Bret Easton Ellis. Well, it was officially confirmed, because it was rumored that he was still in the movie, but what happened was they cut his character out of the film before shooting started. So apparently there's no vampire in The Informers.
Okay.
I've heard the movie is like one of the worst movies ever made, so I'm sure he's happy about that.
Yeah, it didn't get good reviews from Sundance, that's for sure.
Okay. Is that it? Is that all you got, or did you have anything else?
That's essentially it. Yeah, you guys got the other thing.
Okay, Ethan.
Eastern Promises is getting a sequel, or at least one is being developed by David Cronenberg.
Hmm. That's interesting. Thoughts? It's interesting. He didn't do The Fly 2, but he'll do Eastern Promises too, which I never would have guessed. That's interesting.
Yeah. Unanswered questions? Or
I don't know if I need to see the character, Viggo Mortensen's character, develop more, to be honest. I thought he was – I kind of liked how they kept – they revealed enough, but they kept enough of mystery. And one of the things I really liked about his character. But if they delve too much, it might kind of ruin the mystique of the first one, I think.
I totally agree. I mean, they revealed the punchline to his character in the first film, and I love the way it ended. I don't think... Unless Cronenberg's planning on doing, like, a Russian Godfather 2, but his style is so quirky, and the film is so unique. It is, yeah, it is kind of a strange thing. But I guess he's going to do this after the film, after the Tom Cruise thriller he's got coming out. Cronenberg's like doing some interesting stuff.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah, anyway, we'll see. Interesting.
Yeah, well, I've got just one more thing before we start bringing our guest on. But apparently, you know, a few weeks ago, I talked about how Chris Pine was being considered for Star Trek. I mean, for Green Lantern as Hal Jordan. And apparently, if it's true, he doesn't know anything about it. Chris Pine was talking to MTV and said he has not been approached about it and he has not even read the script. So it's all still hearsay. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Yeah.
Interesting.
Oh. Ethan, go ahead.
Oh, were we going to talk about the Jackie Earl Haley thing?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Okay. I'm letting Ethan finish up before we do
very
stuff.
Very good. Very good.
What have you got, Ethan?
Speaking of Star Trek, apparently the sequel's already on the fast track at Paramount.
I believe it. With how much hype this thing's generating.
Well, apparently it knows something we don't. So good, good. That's a sign of confidence.
Yeah. So. Well, people who've seen any amount of it have been just over the moon about this thing.
Good, good. Hey, I'm good. By all means.
Yes, indeed. And do you want to... I'll let you break the Jackie Earl Haley thing, sir, Ethan.
Okay. Jackie Earl Haley is going to be playing Freddy Krueger.
What's funny is this was a rumor a few months ago, and I was like, no. And this is a great pick.
Yeah, yeah. Poor guy is going to be typecast as weirdos, bad guys, and pedophiles now for the rest of his life. But
kiddie baseball players. Throw me the ball. Sorry, I had to steal that from Billy Flynn. Nice.
I don't know. We'll see. I mean, I think the movie's going to stink because I didn't like the what they've been doing with the screenplay. But the casting is promising. If they only had a good director, too, that would help, too. But we'll see. We'll see.
Maybe look at Stephen Sommers.
Stephen Sommers.
Seriously, though, I'm just glad they're making Freddy scary again.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's really the most important part of it all. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Have you got anything else before we get into our cornucopia of Fox fun?
Yeah, I've got a whole bunch.
All right.
Sony has confirmed both Ghostbusters 3 and Men in Black 3.
Ghostbusters 3, woohoo!
It's like one is too late and one is completely unnecessary.
Men in Black being the unnecessary one?
Yes, completely unnecessary. Because Men in Black 2 was bad.
Yeah, it was. It
stunk.
Yeah. Didn't he pretty much say this is going to be better than Men in Black 2? Didn't he like come out and say that outright?
I don't know.
Okay. I thought I remembered reading something about that.
Is Will Smith going to be in this one? Is what I wonder, though.
Like, depends on how many truckloads of cash they bring up.
Because they lost so much money on the second one. Because they paid Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones $20 million. The director, Sonnenfeld, got like $10 million. Spielberg got almost all of the money that it made up front. So like, right there, that's like $100 million. Yeah, I mean, they lost. Seriously, Sony didn't make a cent on Men in Black 2. And Men in Black 2 made over $200 million, and they didn't make a cent on it. So what are they going to do? Pay like... I mean, you know, they're going to want more money for the third film.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Unnecessary. Plus, it'd be good for the economy not to do Men in Black 3.
Ghostbusters 3, though,
I'm curious.
Yes.
I'm curious. You know, it doesn't sound like it's going to be the movie that we want, or that we always envisioned Ghostbusters 3 would be, but, you know, good writers... The original team is back. It could be good.
Well, they said they're officially – what's going to be the plot is that it's going to be them passing the torch to a new team of Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking probably Paul Rudd, Seth Rogen, Danny McBride, and Craig Robinson would be good.
Craig Robinson would be great.
It's not a bad idea.
I'd love to see Jason Segel take – I'm sorry, I'm a Jason Segel fan. I'd love to see him take over as like the next Egon.
Yeah, sure.
I think Bill Hader could do the Dan Aykroyd role.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Oh yeah. How did I forget to talk about Bill Hader in Adventureland? He's awesome.
And Leslie Mann as the Sigourney Weaver role as Dana Barrett.
Yeah, I guess they have like Jonah Hill play Slimer.
I figured he'd be the Rick Moranis character,
or he could be Walter Peck.
Okay, that could be cool. Huh. It's true. This man has no. Never mind. Okay. What else you got, sir?
I showed you guys for the show about the girlfriend experience poster.
Yeah.
Wow. That doesn't have art house written all over it or anything.
Soderbergh's finally going classy on us.
See it with someone. Wow. Yeah. Well, it's actually what? See it with someone you. That's pretty much what it was.
Well, it's ambiguous. Is it someone you fudge?
Totally.
Oh, I guess it's a five-letter word. Or someone you love.
Yeah, we all know. Okay.
Well, we'll see.
But I think we should probably. There's probably a lot of people listening to us who haven't heard of it. But Steven Soderbergh is making another one of his kind of art experimental films, like he did with Bubble. But this time, in the lead role, he has casted a porn star, the lovely Sasha Grey, and she's playing a high-end call girl in New York. And yeah, it sounds pretty interesting.
That's what she said.
I had to get in there some point. So yeah. Okay. What else you got, sir?
Okay.
So I had to fit in there somewhere. It didn't fit great, but it okay.
Yeah. And did you guys see the new The Hangover trailer?
Yeah. Yeah. It looks good.
No.
No.
I didn't see it.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. I hear this is gonna be like Zach Galifianakis's like breakout role, and that it has me so excited.
Who would have thought he could have ever found a breakout role? He's such an unusual comedian and so offbeat. But the three of them look like they... I mean, it looks like the three of those guys are totally playing their well-established personas. But the jokes look great. The Mike Tyson gag is amazing.
Okay, now I have to see this trailer. Okay. What else you got, sir?
That's all that's left. Okay. That's we're done.
All right, let's see if we can get our guest in here really quick.
Okay.
And now joining us via cell phone, because you're moving, right?
In the middle of it.
Wow. Chris Stitt from Quick Stop Entertainment, writer of the Trailer Park Column. Thanks for joining us, sir.
Hey, I'm glad to be here.
So we're getting ready to talk about the cornucopia of Fox's misfortune, shall we say, whether it be self-inflicted or not. So I know you. Should we just start with the Wolverine thing? Because I know you've been had some very strong feelings about this.
Yeah, I think I have. And the more that I see how this thing is shaking out, the more I'm kind of equally troubled. But I think I'm still confused about it.
Okay. Well, I'll just break it down really quick in case anyone's been living under a rock. A work print of Wolverine has leaked online onto the BitTorrent sites. It actually leaked on April 1st, so everyone thought it was a prank. And then word started coming down, holy crap, no, this is the real thing. It doesn't have any of the reshoots. It's got a temp score. It's got mostly CG, from what I understand. Like, none of the CG is done or anything. So I think that sets it up well enough. Where did you want to go with this, sir?
Well, I think I think the primary one is the sort of the indignation I think I saw of some people out there that, you know, that it's out there, and I agree. It is a legal issue. Obviously, somebody is, you know, someone needs to go to, someone's going to go to prison, probably go to prison. I mean, it's a very serious thing. But I think there's been a little bit of a confusion on some of those who are in the sort of tastemaker category, people who have more to lose than they do to gain by saying that if you even looked at this, that you were some kind of rotten scoundrel, that you should be ashamed of yourself, that, you know, you just pick any number one of finger-pointing techniques you want, whereas some of us who actually, A, thought it was an April Day, you know, April Fool's Day prank, and who checked it out, were very shocked to not only see, you know, a DVD quality film, but one that's, you know, you say what you will about temp score, temp effects, effects that weren't quite done yet. This is a finished, almost a finished movie, and one that I think, you know, 90% of which you'll see in the theater when it comes out. So I think just basically when I wrote my column this week talking about how I felt about, you know, some of the people who wanted to take a more holier than thou stance, and I think, oddly enough, I'm still confused on the issue of what to do and how to attack this problem of A, piracy, and B, what is the right thing when something like this is out there? Is it like a piece of artwork? I mean, obviously all of us would feel awful if somebody stole a piece of art and someone gave it to you to hang in your house. That's very, very clear about what to do. But in this digital age, when you can make perfect copies again and again and again, where is that line drawn now?
Now we have a Fox reporter who has been fired for actually reviewing the damn thing.
Oh, so they got fired.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It came down yesterday that not only did, you know, obviously Fox, you know, Fox corporate flip a lid when this freelance columnist wrote an entire review, but it was confirmed yesterday that he was indeed fired.
Wow.
For what he did.
I can understand. It's kind of stealing from the company, so...
Fox reporter got fired from
the
Fox movie.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's equal parts amusing and, you know, it's stupid, you know. Whereas I know my column says I was reviewing it, but it'd be obviously stupid at this point to even do that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, first of all, in the print, from what I understand, you actually had the studio where it came from. Like, their logo flashes up for a few seconds or something. So they know exactly where this came from.
Yeah, I think it was like something like, I don't know, if it was the Red Sun or something. Something like that. I don't know. Every so often, some flickers up on the screen.
It's just stupid beyond words. So you're talking about the indignation of other websites. Are you talking about the fact that they most likely got their start doing exactly what they're telling people not to do?
Yeah, and I think you know, not to put too many, you know, point fingers at any one in particular site or anything like that, but I think a lot of movie websites and, you know, got their start by getting their hands on things they shouldn't have gotten their hands on. But it's neither here nor there, and I don't, you know, want to fault anyone for doing, you know, doing that. And that, they're obviously now in the position where they are, where they can now, you know, turn the table and say, you know, how wrong it is of you and I to even, you know, it's almost like a pot of gold sitting in front of you and saying that don't touch it. It's not yours.
Yeah,
and I understand that, and I understand that. I'm completely, you know, I know where they're coming from, and at the heart of it all, it is illegal. File sharing is illegal, you know. But again, it comes down to a weird sort of gray area where I'm gonna try to pimp some here in the future. This week, I'm going to be interviewing Wired Magazine's editor-in-chief, who has a book coming out, and I believe it's May or June, just entitled Free, which deals with this very issue of how you deal with things out there that are, you know, people are just sort of just ransacking the store and not paying for. And this Wolverine, and you have a pristine copy now, you can play on your home theater, and it kind of illustrates the point of where we are now with having multiple copies of things that, you know, are completely flawless.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I understand what the websites are talking about, because essentially what it is they're grinding out, doing what they have to do to get the news out there, talk about movies, whatever. And once they have that access, they have no need to even go to that anymore, shall we say?
Right.
And so it's, you know, they can go back on that right side of the studios and of the legal footing and everything and saying, don't do this, it's wrong, because we don't have to do it anymore. I'm not going to say that's right or wrong. I'm not going to call anyone a hypocrite, because, you know, some of the websites involved in this are sites that I really respect a lot. And I understand that side of things. But at the same time, you kind of have to acknowledge, you know, just be honest is all I'm saying.
Right, right. And it's no different than, you know, like I said on my column, I know podcasts where they say, you know, I've used my special antenna to be able to review a movie that we're going to be talking about, something that might be in limited release or, you know, or what have you, or even when people talk about, you know, getting the brand new version of The Office that come out this week, you know, how'd you get that? You know, how did you get, and if it wasn't through iTunes, you know, we're talking essentially the same thing again.
Well, they do stream it on NBC.com too.
What's that?
They do stream it. I think they may stream that on NBC.com as well. But
oh, absolutely.
The
absolutely.
Point's taken.
Back before Hulu.
Yeah.
You know. So, and I think I've been wrestling with it all week. It's that, yeah, I certainly checked it out in order to, this is April Fool's Day. Like, what was it? Was it some kind of a lose? You know, were we going to get like a, you know, the first 5 minutes, was this some elaborate Fox prank? But, you know.
Were we going to get the Terrence and Phillip April Fool's joke or, yeah.
Right, exactly. Was it going to be a Rickroll? What was it going to be? And then, to my horror, it was the whole film. You know, and and I know it's a tough spot right now for Fox, because now we're talking, you know, this commodity that's out there. And, you know, at the end of the day, these are not works of art. These are not, You know, we're not talking about, you know, Michelangelo's the Sistine Chapel, you know, being ripped off. We're essentially talking about a film that once it comes out, you know, give it 7 days and something else will be rolling around the corner. But I feel bad. This is a multi-million dollar investment that now is being put in jeopardy.
Well, at the same time, you have to look at the exec who, and Ethan and Barry, chime in anywhere you want here. But you have execs saying, you know, this really isn't going to affect much because either A, these people aren't going to pay to see it anyway. They're going to bootleg it no matter what. Or B, these are the people who are going to see it 10 times in the theater. My concern is that if and when this movie bombs, it's not going to be because it's a bad movie. It's going to be because of piracy. That's what the blame is going to come to.
Well, I really think the people who do pirate movies are in the minority, to be honest. Like, look at Taken. That movie was, like, available for a long time. Yeah. It's like the runaway hit of the year.
Well, and here's the question. Was that because of the piracy? People who've been seeing it for the past 6 months to a year are like, holy crap, you've got to see this movie when it comes out. It's coming out. Go see this movie. I'm not saying that it justifies piracy, but like Chris says, you have to look at both sides of the coin. What does that do to a film?
If I were to guess...
That's the tough part. I see both sides. And I'm, you know, if I'm certain, again, like I said, I'll reference the article again. If I'm 13 and I know there's a perfectly good Wolverine out, I mean, thinking to myself when I was back that age and, you know, when I had Comics Journal still being printed every month as a magazine, and in the back they had, you know that X-Men and Spider-Man were finally going to come to the silver screen someday. This is like 87. If I knew this stuff was out there, you know, game over. But I think I would still go see the movie anyway, because that's just the sort of the dumb kid I was that, you know, I went and saw Batman 8 or 9 times. Who does that anymore?
Yeah. True. What were you saying, Barry?
It just seems like, from what I can tell, whenever this kind of thing happens, I mean, you know, as Chris was alluding to earlier, I mean, you know, publicity is good publicity, even if it's bad publicity. And the last time something like this happened, of course, was back in 2003 when the Hulk was out there. And the Hulk, you know, Ang Lee's Hulk, still had one of the biggest openings of all time, despite being leaked. It just seems like, you know, and I'll totally just use the name of our site as to support the stereotype and cliche. It seems like the geek culture is certainly on top of this, you know, getting copies of Taken, getting copies of Wolverine. But it doesn't seem like it's at the point where mainstream America, for whatever that is on top of all this stuff yet. So it doesn't seem like I would guess that it doesn't seem like the geek culture has affected the bottom line to that degree. Now, overall, maybe, but it's in terms of like opening box office and like, you know, bad word of mouth killing a movie, because frankly, it just seems like even if the advance word is bad on a movie, it'll still have a weekend to figure that out or establish itself.
Well, I think you also have a lot of geeks who do this, who if they pirate something, a lot of them have an interesting sense of conduct, shall we say. If it's something they like, they'll still go support it at the theater. Yeah. They'll still buy the DVD, whatever it is, which is, I mean, again, not justifying anything. It's wrong. It's wrong. But it brings in interesting dynamics.
Well, think about the opening weekend for Wolverine. It's going to be like, you know, families and kids.
Yeah.
It's going to be like women coming to ogle Hugh Jackman. It's, you know, it's not these. A lot of these people aren't like... A lot of these people aren't computer savvy. Like, they're not gonna. They just want to go to the theater to see this movie. They don't care about like it being online. And like even me, like I'll admit I watched the first 20 minutes of the movie, but I realized, you know what, I don't even really care that much about seeing the movie. I just care about seeing it opening weekend with my best friend and eating Burger King in a packed theater. You know what I mean?
Yeah, see now you're pirating food. You're sneaking food into the theater. No, I do it too. So
no, they have a Burger King in the theater, so you can
really. I sneak nice. Food yeah. in. It's overpriced. I'll say it.
No, I agree. I think there's more guys in middle America who are completely inept, like me, at downloading a movie illegally, and would rather just see it on the big screen when it's complete and finished, and not be a part of this potential scandal. Not only because of the negativity attached to it, but because of paranoia. I mean, Fox has said that they're going to be buckling down to people who are downloading it now. I mean, I have no idea how true that is or isn't. But
just,
I mean,
don't join the Pirate Bay fan page on Facebook. I heard about that. I was like, are you freaking kidding me? Sorry. Did you have something else you wanted to say on there, Chris?
No, I welcome these opinions because I've been wrestling with it all week. I'm surprised that it's not a bigger story than it is, but I think Barry got it when it's a, you know, geek culture kind of thing where we're all kind of just amazed at this that this has happened, and you know, it's tough. I mean, I still don't know. I still don't know which way to think. You know, I think maybe I'm wrong. I just don't know which way to fall down on it. I mean, I would never have been able to see Let the Right One In if it wasn't for some special antenna, you know, months ago. You know, the Hurt Locker, same thing.
You know, it's funny you bring up the Let the Right One In, because that kind of segues a little bit in that one of the more interesting things I've seen about this is that a lot of people are saying, tough Fox, karma's a bitch, you know, because I'll let Ethan chime in here now, the Slumdog Millionaire issue.
Yeah, I bought Slumdog Millionaire on DVD this weekend. You know, I haven't watched the movie yet, but I wanted to, like, look at the extras. So I go to the menu, click on extras, and it just brings me to the trailers, nothing else. And I'm thinking, I'm looking at the box on the back, I'm thinking, well, it says there's a featurette with Danny Boyle talking about casting the movie and making the movie, and I think that'd be very interesting to watch.
And isn't there a commentary too?
I can't remember.
I think there is. Because I was looking at the box yesterday, I was like, I want to get this, but I don't want to get a screwed up copy, so I'm not going to give Fox my money. So, yeah, yeah. Right. There are a lot of people who have used it as justification, saying, you know what? Fox owes me. So, oh, look, there's Wolverine. I'm going to go ahead and get it.
It's strange that this keeps happening, because a couple of years back, Marty bought the Marine, like he ordered it ahead of time for the special edition, and it's supposed to have a commentary on it with John Cena and the director, and it didn't. So, I mean, you know, obviously much smaller case for a movie, yeah, frankly, about four of us that we know have cared about, but it is strange that this does keep happening.
Yeah, well, and the killer perversion thing is that there is the right version out there of Slumdog Millionaire. This was a widespread issue.
Yeah.
And it's you can trace it back to the reason why you turned on Fox. They're going to do rental copies with nothing on it.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out the consumer who went out and paid their $16 or whatever got the short end of the stick. Which, the reason I bring Let the Right One into this is because that whole story's gone further in that they've said essentially, screw the fanboys, they're overreacting. Which is not what you want to do when it's your fan base. That's why I said Donkey Punch is my FU pick of the week. It's put out by Magnet/Magnolia. They're on my boycott list for a good long time now. And the amazing thing, it's kind of like the same thing with Fox. We want to like them. I'm not out there trying to hate Fox. I'm not out there trying to hate Magnolia or Magnet. But when you're being this... In Magnet's case, when you're being that obtuse, that pig-headed, that you won't throw the people who are your bread and butter and who are keeping you afloat a bone, then fine, you deserve to sink. Fox, I want to see them return to their glory of the 90s. I want to see them get back to, you know, the Fight Clubs and all that stuff too, that we even got the beginning to the 2000s. But we've got the Wolverine issue, which it was out of their control, but no one's feeling sorry for them, because you've got the whole Slumdog Millionaire issue, which everyone was worried was going to happen, and oh, look, it happened. And then secondly, you've got them saying, we're not going to pay the theaters. We're not going to help pay for the 3D stuff at all, even though we said we're going to.
I heard about that.
So I guess the question comes into play. Who's running Fox, and why are they running them into the ground?
Yeah. It's, every day I have to remind myself this is show business, and it's business. And unfortunately, at times you have people who are in power and can't steer a ship to save their lives, you know. And it's, you know, and again, it's human beings making decisions, and unfortunately they've just not caught a break, you know, at all. And it's not like they're trying to help themselves, and certainly I don't think anyone deserved what they got with Wolverine. I'd love to hear at least the story of the person who put it out there and why they did. You know, which I think would make for more a fascinating story than anything else.
Absolutely.
But you know, they are just a business at the end of the day, and they're not running it well. And I'll go back to what your comments were. I was amazed when I heard that they were gonna to the rental market. They're gonna strip out their extras I can't imagine. I mean, the distribution cost for making two different versions. I mean, is it actually cheaper for them to print a disc and or to press a disc with one with them and one without them? Yeah. You know,
I think it is. Go ahead.
I'm befuddled. I would think that it would be more to have to create two different versions.
It does, and I think part of it is because the video game business does this, the book industry is like this, the theater, you know, everyone. No one likes the secondhand market. And essentially, when Blockbuster and Hollywood and Netflix and all these companies sell their previously viewed copies with the same extras, they're cutting the studios out on money, even though they've already been paid for those copies. They didn't get paid that full retail amount. They get caught, since Hollywood and Blockbuster buy, 100,000 copies, we'll say, for all their stores, they're going to get a break. So they're not going to get as much, they're going to sell it for less to these in bulk. So I think that's why they're trying to horn in and make it so that people have to buy the retail versions, which still really doesn't make that much sense because it's just going to kill your goodwill.
No. And why would John Q. Public go into a Blockbuster, rent a movie, and be spurned on to actually buy it after he's seen it? Maybe there was some feature on there that would have sold him on it.
Yeah.
It seems And you know what? It's funny you bring that up because it makes perfect sense. In the early, the early 90s when UCD stores were starting to pop up and the music industry got involved to try to thwart attempts to have people being able to resell their bought CDs, and they obviously fail at that. And the secondary market is causing lots of grief, but the digital market is just. It's making these companies have to react on defense than offense because people are, their customers now are becoming a lot more swift, a little bit quicker on the draw than they are.
Yeah. I mean, the reality is the secondhand market has a killer of a profit margin. It's awesome. Yeah. But at the same time, the studio's gotten their money. And that's, I mean, it's a two-edged sword. You have, the market, so and the studios want to get into it. They want you to buy their product as opposed to buying it used, which I think is a lot of the reason why we get these double, triple, quadruple, quintuple dips on these DVDs. Well, we have something more that you're not going to get at that used store. We want you to buy it from us. At the same time, I mean, you really are biting the hand that feeds you. And the killer with this whole 3D thing with Fox backing out is the theater's the ones that's going to catch the brunt of it from the customers. They don't want to hear, well, Fox said they were going to pay for part of this, and they're not now. They just say, hey, I want this in 3D. That I want whatever I want as a customer, and you're not giving it to me, so I'm going to go elsewhere. And it's not – I mean, they're really – if Fox said we're not going to pay for this – I think it's over 3D glasses at this point, which since you have to pay $2 more for the 3D glasses, why is this an issue at all? That's my first question. But secondly, it's just really frustrating because I see a company not holding up on their end of the deal. And now we've got the other guy getting stuck for it. But yet Fox still wants that same amount of money, the same percentage, the same everything, as if they were investing in this. And if you're not investing it, then you don't get the money. That's really how easy that should break down. But I don't know. Fox is really just – they're generating a lot of bad will. And I don't like that because they are a studio that has a lot of great history. And right now, no one cares about that history.
Right.
I was hoping things would pick up because, frankly, prior to the leak, even prior to the talks of reshoots and everything, I thought Wolverine looked very promising. And Avatar, which I believe is a Fox release, if I'm not mistaken, a 3D Fox release at that. Everybody who had a glimpse of this thing, even a freaking peek, has said it's like one of the great sci-fi masterpieces of the next 10 years. So certainly, I was hoping that the goodwill would kind of overwhelm the last 3 or 4 years.
And you had Fox bringing out movies like Slumdog Millionaire, like The Wrestler. They're even if it's Fox Searchlight, it is still part of Fox.
Yeah.
But when you find a way to even screw that up, I mean, we're talking some talented folks here.
And that's weird. And it's almost a schizophrenic business because of what. Danny Boyle, when I interviewed him for Slumdog Millionaire in December, was talking about how it all shook out that, the one studio evaporated and Fox Searchlight came in and actually, saved his ass. He was obviously very grateful for them and they have a lot to show for it. But on the flip side of that, when you see what they're doing with their mainstream releases, it just makes you wonder who's in charge.
Yeah, and I know Tom Rothman pretty much has become the devil to a lot of people, but I don't think you can even go there. I mean, this is top to bottom. you don't hear anyone saying anything dissenting out of Fox, even anonymously saying, well, yeah, we're doing this wrong. It's everyone's like, oh, we're doing great. And it's like no one, the emperor has no clothes and he doesn't even know it.
There was the guy who was running Fox about 10 years ago. I believe his name was Bill Mechanic. And he was the one who greenlit Fight Club. And he got into a lot of trouble from a lot of people saying, like, how could you have greenlit a movie? A, that was so nihilistic and violent. B, it was so ridiculously expensive. And C, you know, it was a total flop. He got in trouble for that. He got in trouble for Anna and the King. And he was essentially ousted, despite the fact that he was responsible for greenlighting a bunch of really rich and daring and risk-taking movies like The Thin Red Line, like William and Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet, the Baz Luhrmann film. And it's interesting because you look at that, you would look at his legacy and say, this is a successful legacy, even though the movies were flops.
Even Anna and the King wasn't a bad movie.
No, nothing wrong with those movies. And now you've got a Fox legacy where, you know, the movies are hits, but they're not Fight Club. And you've got all this, you know, all these, you figured they would do something to quench the bad word of mouth. I mean, that is the bottom line. Because, frankly, the geek community may not affect the opening grosses of Watchmen, of Wolverine, but over time it will certainly affect.
Yes.
Did you get somebody off?
Sorry about that. I got some guys were going by in the right rockets.
Nice. Well, you also have the whole Watchmen thing where Fox really kind of...
Yeah, isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Really, I mean, okay, you got a few bucks from Watchmen, but now you've soured your goodwill.
A few bucks, definitely, because Watchmen lost a lot of... I mean, you know, not to pick on the movie, but in terms of box office alone, it lost a lot of money for Warners and, for that matter, for Fox.
Yeah, but Warners has Harry Potter still coming, so they're fine. They don't care.
Yeah.
But yeah,
and people too. I mean, people are. I mean, it's not that people are dumb, but people don't care which studio puts it out. They just want. They want to see Brad Pitt. They want to see George Clooney. They don't care. They don't care. They don't realize. They don't know who's putting out these films.
Yeah,
and generally speaking, I don't either. Until you start getting this longer and longer and longer track record, you can't help but notice it at some point.
Oh, I know. Well, for those of us who are able to keep track of these things.
Go ahead, Ethan.
Well, I did something where I took Fox's, the movies they made in the year 2008, and I took their Rotten Tomatoes score and averaged them, and the average score was 26%.
But what did Ben Lyons think of them?
I'm sure. Well, it depends if he got to go to the after premiere party.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
Take pictures with the people.
Which brings it up to 97%.
Wow. So I think we're going to skip the Great McGinty this week because, you know, we're about an hour into this now, which is good. I mean, this is
good stuff, guys.
You know, this has been a week where, I mean, I can see, you know, I mean, sometimes you have a studio who has a bad bit of news here and there, but this has been like a week or two straight where it's just been getting, it's gone from bad to worse for these guys.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. And it just seems to be no action plan other than condemning those who did it and, you know, saying you're a pirate if you even go near it. So, you know, if I was in the position of knowing that my product was out there now, I think I'd be a little bit more nimble with maybe contingency plans of how to deal with when these situations come, because these are going to be happening more often as the digital age progresses. And, you know, I'm just amazed that, you know, nothing, you know, other than just kind of turning a blind eye to it. That's all that's been done.
Yeah, yeah, it has. And, I mean, there is the upside that even people who, if anyone remotely liked this movie, you still have the fact that there's another 20 minutes to this film. So,
right. So
you've got more to this. So if you didn't like what you saw, there might be something that's going to change your mind somewhat. I mean, granted, 20 more minutes changing it from, you know, whatever it is, an hour and a half to 2 hours or whatever, that's not going to change the overall film, but who knows? I mean, it's different enough that even people who saw it, had their curiosity piqued, are going to go see it in the theater too. Still.
Right.
So.
Right. And I think at the end of the day, that's exactly the whole point of this is that it's not going to cause any great, you know, it might get blamed if the movie does poorly, but, you know, people are still going to go see it. I'm still going to go see it.
But how many people thought this movie sucked before, was going to suck before this thing even leaked out?
Yeah, a lot. I mean, you can't. I mean, it's a lot of geek. I mean, no, that's the beauty of the internet. You you know, no one has seen a frame one of the film, but yet you can go on your soapbox and say how bad something looks and, you know, ruin, you know, I mean, it, no one gives anyone the benefit of any doubt whatsoever anymore.
Yeah, but since it had such negative word of mouth, had it bombed, everyone would say, well, it's just, see, I was right. Now if it bombs, like you said, it's going to be, oh, it's those damn pirates. So
yeah, and that's, you know, it's...
You can go in circles and circles and circles for hours about this.
I think so. You can. And now it's you know, the money men will be able, you know, be able two ways out on this one. You know, somebody might not lose their job now because they can point a finger to this.
Fair enough.
Well, you're right. It's like a dog. It's like a dog. You can just keep going around and around and around on this.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thank you very much for joining us on this, sir.
Thank you very much for letting me talk about it. I'm still, you know, I think this is a big issue still, and
we haven't seen the end of this.
I appreciate you letting me talk about it. I appreciate it a lot.
Oh, heck yeah. Absolutely. Hey, anytime. You know that. You know that totally. And again, our thanks to Chris for joining us on the phone. You know, we were supposed to talk to Grant McGinty, but seeing as we're like an hour into this episode now, we're going to push it back to next week. So that's okay. But right now, actually, we're going to take a quick break. But yeah, we will be right back to talk about releases coming up for next week.
Another year, another convention season, and while geeks are out there hobnobbing and having a great time, you're still sitting at home watching reruns of Lost in Space. And I know what you're thinking. I can't get to every con. Isn't there someone that can help a brother out? Well, of course there is. Geek Radio Daily is going to be in Denver, Colorado for Starfest April 17th through the 19th. Check them out at starland.com. And for the first time ever, the GRD Street Crew will be streaming live video from the floor of a convention. Because it's the future, yo. You'll be able to see all the events as they happen simply by going to ustream.tv/geekradiodaily. Submit your questions because we'll be interviewing some of your favorite geeky celebrities like...
Insert celebrity voice here.
And...
That guy that's in that thing you like.
Plus...
That one girl you think so hot? Her too.
April 17th through the 19th, we'll be at Starfest and so can you. Stop by for more info at your daily stop for all your geeky goodness, geekradiodaily.com.
And we're 2 weeks out from Starfest.
Wow.
So, yeah, we got one. So we're going to do the Grant McGinty next week, and then we're going to take another break from doing... We're never going to finish the Preston Sturges series. That's what it's essentially boiling down to. Because the next week we're going to be doing Starfest, and we're going to be doing all kinds of crazy stuff. I'm doing a intro to podcasting panel, which I think we may record and post in our thread, in our RSS feed and stuff. But really quick, before we get to the releases, there's a bit of news I forgot to talk about. Interestingly enough, there are a bunch of film panels, movie panels happening at Starfest in their main events room. There's going to be features on, Battle for Terra, which is an animated flick coming out May 1st, I want to say. Alien Trespass, which just had its opening and limited release, 40 screens was it?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be doing a presentation. Nine looks really interesting. Animated flick that,
Tim Burton's producing?
Yeah, that's right. And then just recently announced this week was Orphan, the film from... I know the guy's last film was The House of Wax, but still, the trailer looks interesting. So we might the director's actually coming out, so we may get a chance to talk to him. And
great.
We're going to have a heck of a good time.
Yeah, cool.
So, yeah, let's talk about what's hitting theaters this week.
It's theaters in week? Dragon Ball Evolution.
Which it's still named that, apparently.
Apparently, I thought it was just called Dragon Ball, but hey, at least it's not Dragon Ball Z.
No? I wanted to bring up something, but it's interesting. Dragon Ball leaked too, but Fox didn't seem to give like a crap about that.
I think that goes to how much money they think they're going to make between both films, potentially.
Well, let me throw this out really, really quick. When is it a leak, and when is it they're throwing it out there just to get word of mouth going?
That's a valid question.
Because honestly, I think there are a lot of people who didn't really find an interest in seeing Rob Zombie's Halloween until it magically just popped up online.
The work print version,
The work print, yeah.
Or what became the director's cut, I think.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, you know, I'm not going to completely restart this argument, but I do wonder when it's an accident, when it's a publicity move.
And because that's something that's, you know, brings the legality into question, you're never going to hear a studio ever admit to doing it.
Sure.
But that's a very valid question.
All right. Well, moving on. Hannah Montana, the movie.
Have you heard the buzz about this thing?
No.
Apparently, it's her saying goodbye to the character, so people are all sad. And I'm like... Okay.
I've seen the series, and I've never... I'll be completely honest. I've never been able to tell when she's Miley and when she's Hannah Montana because there's no difference. It's just a wig. There's no... I mean, like, you know, Miley is who she is off stage, but it's not like a, it's not like Batman and Bruce Wayne. It's a wig. Anybody who doesn't know the difference... Go ahead.
It's not like Nicolas Cage in Adaptation where you can clearly tell which is Donald and which is Charlie.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, I will admit I have flipped by a couple times that show because, you know, AB, you know, I used to watch Saturday morning cartoons, dang
sure,
it.
Sure, of course, why not?
Well, it's kind of, they kind of suck now, so I just go to my library to hit that. But I have to.
That's what she said.
Okay, sorry, because I said hit that. Oh. And final, and you know, I actually used to watch a little bit of Lizzie McGuire. I will totally admit it because it was a fun show.
Yeah.
Even Stevens, you know, Shia LaBeouf's first show. That was a pretty solid little show. You know, it wasn't bad. This thing, like 2 minutes into it, okay, I got to change it. I'm sorry. You know, when something makes That So Raven look like high art.
Well, it's in the same category. I mean, you know, it's cornball, cheesy, good, clean, Disney fun sitcoms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not for us, obviously. This is not audience demographic. Although, you know, I've heard, you know what I have heard has gotten good marks is the soundtrack album. Apparently, she's done, it's more of a country album than anything else. And apparently, they say it's like, that's the real artistic growth for her because apparently this movie isn't going to like.
So she's following in daddy's footsteps.
Well, her.
The question is, will she grow a mullet?
Well, will she appear in a David Lynch movie? Because her dad's in a David Lynch movie. Her dad's in Lost... Mulholland Drive. Mulholland Drive. Yeah, he's the pool guy in Mulholland Drive.
Business in the front, party in the back.
So, finally, opening this week, Seth Rogen in Observe and Report, along with Anna Faris. And this I've heard... I get to see this tomorrow. I'm looking forward to this one. I hear it's really, really edgy, like really dark.
The trailer showed in front of Adventureland, and I just... There's something about seeing a good trailer on a big screen. I was just like, oh, I cannot wait for this.
Yeah, this is fun.
Yeah, this is one of my most anticipated movies of the year. Ever since I heard it was a comedic taxi driver.
Yeah.
I've
heard compared to The Cable Guy. Like, I hear it's really going to alienate people. Like, apparently Rogan is fantastic in it, but his character is a total dark scumbag, so.
Well, the part where he's talking to the psychiatrist, you know, with the two guns, and then he breaks out the shotgun.
Nah.
It just looks good.
Yeah, really, it's from the creators of the very brilliant The Foot Fist Way and the very brilliant Eastbound and Down. So,
Right. Yeah, yeah. So see how this does with the mainstream.
So is that it for theatrical this week?
That's it
next
for
week? This week? All right, what's it in DVD next week? Next week's kind of slim pickings.
All right, well, let me backtrack just a tad, too, because I screwed up. I actually listed the DVD releases that are the week before. This week is actually Doubt, Bedtime Stories, Tales of Despero, and The Day Lear Stood Still. So really not a good week for DVDs, except for you're a big Doubt fan. So this week for DVDs, Kate Winslet in The Reader, one of the most erotic movies I've seen recently. She's excellent in the movie. Yeah. Exo Squad.
Exo Squad. If you're a child of the 80s, you know what I'm talking about, hopefully. And there you go.
There you go. The Uninvited, the so-so remake, not bad, remake of A Tale of Two Sisters with Elizabeth Banks. It's all right. Not bad.
But whoa. All right and not bad should never be associated with Tale of Two Sisters.
Yes. Yeah. Tale of Two Sisters is one of the scariest movies ever made. This is... No.
Not even a little bit.
No, this movie did not haunt me at all. No.
Fair enough.
The Spirit. Frank Miller's The Spirit. Remember that movie? Remember how excited we were about that movie for like 5 minutes and then it actually opened? Opened on Christmas Day. One of last year's biggest flops. Great movie to watch, just to watch. Turn with the sound off, like put some really cool like Radiohead music on and just like have The Spirit on as like wallpaper as your party's going on.
Like on a 65-inch with your Blu-ray going.
Yeah. Okay. Or if you're like working at Hot Topic, just like have it playing on the background or something. Seriously, I mean, that's the way to watch this movie. The dialogue is asinine. The performances are terrible. The screenplay is stupid. But man, it's a great looking movie. So if I ever get a Blu-ray player, I promise I'm buying The Spirit. And then also, great, great horror film that we saw at Starfest last year, finally getting released. Summer School. No, not that one. This is a horror anthology film. Really good.
Yeah. And you know, I'm glad this is coming out because I've been trying to transcribe our interview with them forever. And I'm just going to post the audio. It's legible enough that you can hear it. So I'll post that this week.
Yeah.
Because this, seriously, you need to check this film out.
We'll
pimp it again
movie.
Next week.
Yeah.
But yeah, it takes the vibe kind of a grindhouse type thing in that they made it feel like a film that was made in the 70s, even though it takes place today. and it just looks awesome.
Yeah, it's extremely well made. The guys who made it couldn't have been nicer or funnier. And yeah, this is, you know, I was a little hard on it, I think, the first time I saw it, but like the more I think about it, like I don't even, the problems I have with the movie don't even add up. I mean, I think this is a fine horror film, and I'm really glad it's finally getting a proper DVD release.
Yeah, yeah.
And finally, this is cool. I didn't get to talk to you about this day before we talked about this. There's a collection of DVDs coming out called The Lost Collection. Have you seen this?
Yes, I did see that.
So you got John Cryer's Hiding Out, one of the original 21 Jump Street stories, A Gangster Hides in High School. Also, John Cryer's Morgan Stewart's Coming Home, which is not a classic. Slaughter High in its uncut version. And My Best Friend's a Vampire. This is from The Lost Collection, which says, the best movies you totally forgot about. So how cool is that? So hopefully more 80s pseudo classics coming out as the months progress.
Very cool. And we do have a piece of email came from our biggest fan, Valencia, talking about the wrestling thing. You know, we talked about wrestling movies with featuring wrestlers last year. It made her go back to when she used to watch wrestling.
All right.
So said, growing up, I watched wrestling a little bit. Dusty Rhodes was one of my favorites, including his son, Dustin. Years later now, my ex-fiancé told me that Dustin was a character named Gold Dust. Oh, gosh, Gold Dust. Oh, that hurt. Did you ever see Gold Dust?
I missed the Gold Dust era.
Oh, you didn't. You didn't miss anything. Okay. Anyhow, thank goodness I missed out. Yes, you should be quite happy. Also, when I was younger, I was a fan of GLOW, Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Yeah, remember when they threatened each other with, like, blowtorches and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Really? Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah. You're taking us back, Valencia.
Yeah.
My ex was all into the whole wrestling genre when we were dating. We even went to a live wrestling show here in Atlanta, the first time I'd ever been to one, and I realized then it's more enjoyable on TV. Sucks we weren't able to hear the commentary. I liked Y2J, the Hardy Boys, Lita, Stone Cold, and The Rock.
Nice.
There were more, but I can't think of them at the moment. I actually have action figures of The Rock, Stone Cold, and the Hardy Boys. I own some recent wrestling theme song CDs from a few years ago. I own a Hardy Boys DV from a few years ago and a PS2 wrestling game. I haven't looked at wrestling since that time 7 years ago. I will say I own SmackDown versus Raw 08. It is fun beating people with chairs, making them bleed. It's awesome. So thank you, Valencia. I'm glad we could take you on a little trip down memory lane. Hopefully it was a happy trip and not a bad trip.
That was good stuff. Yeah, yeah. I appreciate a confession like that. No, that's good. It made me think about the fabulous Miss Elizabeth, remember?
You know, gosh.
Randy Macho Man Savage?
Yeah, that was like Hulk Hogan's sister or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
We're not a wrestling show.
I'm trying to think. Like, I have the wrestling album. I still have that. The first one, the wrestling album. And I've got No Holds Barred on VHS. But I think that's as far as my wrestling cred goes. You know, and I watched it. And I remember when Hulk Hogan lifted up Andre the Giant above his head in WrestleMania 3. That was one of the most amazing things I've ever seen.
There you go. So if you want to shoot us an email, by all means do. I promised some people this week we'd have voicemail. It's actually going to be next week. We will have a voicemail number ready to go by next week. Check the Twitter feed for Screen Geeks. It's twitter.com/screengeeks. If you want to shoot us an email, by all means do. You can email Josh, Ethan, Dave, Barry, or podcast@screengeeks.com. And until next week, this is Dave.
This is Barry.
This is Ethan.
Take it easy.
Van Damme and Minnie Pearl!